Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. May peace and blessings be upon His Messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions. Today, inshallah, we will continue the classes of the traps of Satan, and the title of the class is Temptation of Wealth. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about wealth as the way that Shaitan is using to motivate man to deviate from the right path through earning haram, illegal earning. Last week we already learned about the different forms of illegal earning. This week, inshallah, we will learn the following. Number one, rules of legal earning in Islam. Number two, inshallah, we will learn two stories about being thankful to Allah for wealth is a must for the wealth to become a blessing in your life and not to be destroyed by Allah. These two stories are one from the Holy Quran and the second from the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. The goal of these two stories is to remember that Satan is after man to deny Allah's blessings, to be ungrateful to Allah, the way for destruction of any blessing. So we must be grateful to Allah all the time. Let us first, sister, start by learning the rules of legal or lawful provision in Islam. We must know that Islam encourages legal or lawful provision, halal provision, and it prohibits unlawful provision, haram provision. This is mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah. We will recite verse 168 and 168. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 2. 168. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 168 and 169. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
يا أيها الناس كلوا مما في الأرض حلالا طيبا ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين إنما يأمركم بالسوء والفحشاء وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. O mankind, eat from whatever is on earth that is lawful and good, and do not follow the footsteps of Satan. Indeed, he is you a clear enemy. He only orders you to evil and immorality, and to say about Allah what you do not know.
So actually, sister, this is the command of Allah the Almighty in the Holy Quran for all the believers to eat of that which is lawful and good on the earth and not to follow the shaitan regarding the provision. Recite again now from the same surah, surah number 2, verse number 172.
The same surah?
Surah
172.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. O you who have believed, eat from the good things which we have provided for you and be grateful to Allah if it is indeed Him that you worship.
So actually it is again the command of Allah the Almighty regarding eating from the good. And actually now we will recite from Surah number 23, Surah Al-Mu'minun. We will recite verse number 51 in order to know about the command of Allah regarding eating from the good. Surah number 23, verse number 51. It is clear that it is repeated many times in the Holy Quran regarding this message of eating from the good and avoiding what is haram illegal.
يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah said, O messengers, eat from the good foods and work righteousness. Indeed, I am what you do, am knowing.
So actually, sister, this is Allah the Almighty commanding us in many verses of the Holy Quran to eat from the good. And actually, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, on the day of judgment, the son of Adam will not pass away from Allah until he is asked about five things. The first question is how he lived his life. The second, how he utilized his youth. The third, how did he earn his wealth? The fourth, how did he spend his wealth? And the fifth, how did he do with his knowledge? So it is clear that on the day of judgment, we will be questioned by Allah, the Almighty, regarding our wealth and how we were earning our wealth and spending it. So this hadith means that we must be aware and we must actually be sure that what we earn is good and is halal and is legal, so that inshallah on the day of judgment we can answer Allah regarding that question. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, also said, the Holy Spirit inspired me that no living creature will ever die until it gets all its provision. So fear Allah, O servants of Allah, and make your demands reasonable and make your jobs decent, and let not delay of any provision cause you to seek it through disobedience of Allah. What is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning of this is that we must be sure that our provision is decreed by Allah 50,000 years before the creations of the heavens and earth. It was already written. Okay? So, we must believe in this. If we believe in this, okay, we will actually fear Allah, because Allah is the provider, and we will make our demands reasonable. Okay? And also we will make our jobs decent. What is the meaning of this? This means that we will work legal jobs, we will earn legal money, okay? And the end of the advice is related to the fact that let not delay of your provision cause you to seek it through disobedience of Allah. For example, someone is looking for his wealth to increase, or for a better job, or for, you know, a better salary. So he is not supposed to feel that, you know, the time already passed and Allah didn't change my situation. I was trying to earn legally, but so long the time is passing and I am not getting what I am looking for regarding the wealth, so I will try the illegal ways of earning the wealth because of the delay of what he is looking for. Okay? Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, he commanded every believer not to let the delay of his provision to cause him to seek it through disobedience of Allah. Also, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, don't feel that your provision is delayed. O servants of Allah, take what is lawful and leave what is unlawful. Okay? So this is again a clear command from Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, regarding our earning. You must earn legal money. Okay? These sayings of the Prophet are clarifying that Muslims must seek legal provision and prohibit illegal provision, and it is only the legal provision that is accepted by Allah the Almighty. There is a very important fact which I just clarified to you now, that our provision is decreed 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and earth, and it was written in the preserved tablet. Okay? So, if you believe in this fact, okay, you will be from those whom they will try all the time to obey Allah and to earn legally, because my provision was decreed. Okay? So inshallah, if I insisted that I will only have legal earning, inshallah, this is the proof that that was written for me. But if I am from the other group of the people whom they earn their money or their wealth illegally, okay, this means that they are following the steps of Shaitan, and also they actually don't believe that their provision is decreed. If you believe that your provision is decreed, so I will only eat illegal provision. I will only eat it. Okay, because I believe that nothing can change what Allah already decreed for me, and I can be the one, okay, to choose what was decreed for me. I will only eat legal, inshallah, provision, or earn legal provision. Actually, there is a story about Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, and this is actually a famous story, and it has a wisdom. Okay, I will mention to you the story, and we will learn the wisdom behind it, because actually it is very beneficial. One day, Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, he went to the masjid for prayer. He asked a boy standing nearby to look after his horse until finishing the prayer. When Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, he came out of the masjid after prayer, he intended to give two dirhams, for example, $2, okay? He intended to give $2 to that boy for caring for his horse. But the boy wasn't around. And Ali noticed that the bridle, that is to say, the nose rope of the horse is missing. Okay? So he asked another man to go to the market to buy for him another bridle for the horse. The man brought the bridle, and he gave it to Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, who was so surprised, as he said, it is the bridle of my horse. Oh, subhanallah. So he asked the man, who sold you this bridle? The man answered, a young boy. Then Ali asked, how much you gave him for the bridle? The man answered, 2 dirhams. So Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, said, that boy did me a favor. As he looked after my horse during my prayer inside the masjid, so I decided to give him 2 dirham in return. He couldn't wait to get it, to get the money legally or halal, so he got it haram. It is also the same 2 dirhams. Okay? Instead, he robbed the bridle and sold it to you. He still got the same amount of money, 2 dirhams, and not a penny more, but he got it haram money. Okay? So this story must be remembered all the time, as it is a teaching for every one of us, a very important lesson. What is this lesson? Is that your provision is decreed. So it is up to you to receive it halal, lawful, according to the rules of Allah, or to feel that your provision is delayed, and at that time you will get your provision through unlawful ways. So let us hold here, sister, in order to learn, the message and the wisdom of this story. Why? A lot of people are earning illegal money in different forms. In different forms. You know, today, inshallah, I will mention to you some more illegal ways of earning money, okay, which we sometimes don't consider it illegal, but it is illegal, okay? And if you look around, you will notice that most of the people, their earning is not lawful. Most of the people. So the question is, why? If you believe that your provision is decreed, for example, for me, I will earn $1,000 per month. If I believe that whatever Allah decreed for me will come to me. Okay? So if I have this belief clear in my spirit, I will never try any unlawful provision at all. Because I want to prove to myself that Allah decreed for me lawful provision. Okay? But what is going on now regarding the unlawful means of earning the money? This means that people are not believing in Allah's decree. And this is a very big problem regarding the belief. Because you must believe in Allah's decree, because this is one of the, of the 6 pillars of believing in Islam. If you don't believe in Allah's decree, you have a problem regarding the basic belief in Islam. Okay? So, all the time, remind yourself that so long your provision is decreed, so you can wait for it to come to you through the lawful ways, and not to allow shaitan to whisper to you to get it through the unlawful means. So now, inshallah, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we will continue to learn about what is the harm of earning unlawful money. What is the harm? Because this is very important also to encourage every one of us to be away from haram or unlawful earning. Number one, not entering paradise. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said the following hadith, Abadi, nourished on haram sustenance, will not enter paradise. Okay, so this is a clear hadith, okay, for every Muslim. Everyone is looking for the paradise, okay? And everyone is trying, you know, to follow the rules of Allah regarding paradise. But they forget a very important factor which may stop them from entering paradise, which is actually the haram sustenance or the haram earning. Okay, so it is clear that a body nourished on haram sustenance will not enter paradise. And here, I need to clarify that, for example, if my husband is earning haram sustenance, me and my kids will not enter the paradise. Because we are, yes, this is the explanation of the hadith. Okay, because we eat from the haram.
The innocent.
No, this is what Allah mentioned. You know why? To prevent, you know, the husbands from earning illegally. Okay, they must be aware that whatever illegal earning you have, okay, it will prevent you, and it will prevent your wife, and it will prevent your kids or your grand, you know, or grandsons and daughters. Whoever will be nourished from your sustenance, he will not enter paradise. Yes. Our problem as Muslims is that we are not focused priorities. We are focused on the details and sub-details in everything in our life. But the most important, you know, aspects in our life, which is legal and illegal, we don't focus on this. Okay, and because of that, okay, this is actually what is, you know, going on. Let us continue to learn about the harm of the illegal earning. Number two, haram, unlawful provision is the main cause of Allah not to accept our supplications. Okay, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, mentioned a man having journeyed far. He was very tired. Okay, he spread out his hand to the sky, saying, "O Lord, O Lord, O Lord," while his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram, and his nourishment is haram. So how can his dua be answered? This is very important, because most of us are all the time questioning, "Oh Allah, why my supplications are not answered? Why our dua is not answered?" Okay, and the answer is that, what about our earning? Is our earning is 100% halal or not? This is the issue. And in this hadith, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, he mentioned the state or the story of a man who is actually working very hard, trying very hard to earn the money, and at the same time he is a believer, and at the same time he is calling on Allah, raising his hands to Allah to call him, "O Lord, O Lord, O Lord," believing that inshallah Allah will answer his dua. But the problem is, his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram, his nourishment is haram, because his earning is haram. So Allah will never answer him. Why? Because this actually illegal provision or haram provision is the cause of anger of Allah, and so Allah will not accept any supplication from those whom they actually earn illegally. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessing be upon him, said to Sa'd, one of his companions, "O Sa'd, purify your food, your supplication will be accepted." Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And if you eat any haram food, your acts of worship will not be accepted for 40 days. Can you imagine this? If you eat, you know, any haram food, if you put it in your stomach, 40 days of worship will not be accepted from that person. 40 days of worship means, you know, if it is before the month of Ramadan, this means that fasting the month of Ramadan, praying for 40 days, doing dua for 40 days, whatever acts of worship he did in these 40 days, Allah will not answer his supplication. So we must all the time, sisters, be actually aware, okay, and avoid completely any haram earning. And again, regarding what is the haram earning, any earning which leads to corruption is haram. As we mentioned before, gambling, cheating, fraud is forbidden in Islam. Manufacturing, trading or serving intoxicants and drugs are haram. Insurance companies and what we mentioned about the riba. Also, if you are supposed to work 8 hours per day and you always go to work late for 10 minutes and you leave late, this means that you are eating haram. If during the time of the work, I every day plan to use the phone for half an hour or 1 hour to talk with my daughter, with my sister, this is totally haram. So what you will earn at the end of the day is haram. So your acts of worship for 40 days is not accepted. So what is going on in our life? Who is going to work in the Arab countries? Most of the people are not going to work at time, mostly. I was working. And actually, when I start to work as a pediatrician, they mentioned to me, don't come in time. You are supposed to arrive at 8, arrive at 9. No problem. Okay?
Huh? In my country too.
In your country too. Okay? And I hope this is not going on in the United States. Okay? And when I was supposed to leave at 4 o'clock, okay, they always tell me, you can leave by 3:30. Because, you know, we don't sign at the time, you know, when the work ended, we don't sign. You don't sign at the beginning or at the end. So no one is observing you. But Allah is observing me. Number one, Allah is observing me. At that time, I was not clear about Allah is observing me. You know, this is number one. Number two, the haram earning. You know, out of this half an hour which I came late to work, maybe it is equal to $3. But these $3, they destroyed all the earning of the day.
Everything?
Yes. And they destroyed the 40 days of worshipping Allah. So this means that all the life, my acts of worship were not accepted by Allah. But all praise to Allah that I don't know this. But the problem is that when now, today, you tell to the Muslims, this is illegal, this is haram, you can tell me how many will accept and how many will change. This is the problem. The problem is that if you don't know, Allah forgive. Allah forgive those whom they don't know with good intention. I don't have the knowledge. Okay? But the second I have the knowledge, okay, Allah the Almighty will punish me if I will not follow the rules. Okay, so this is the problem of the people. Most of the people whom they are working during the working hours, okay, they are not actually 100% doing their job. Either they are talking together, or they will have 1 hour break, and the 1 hour break will be one and a half. All the internet, no, yes, I forget. At my time, there was no computer. Now, yes, I agree with you. They open the Facebook sideways. Okay, and all the time they are looking at the Facebook. Okay, so this is, you know, this is to clarify why our supplication to Allah as Muslims is not accepted. It will never be accepted. Whether they go to Hajj, whether they go to Umrah, okay, it is still, it will not be accepted because of our haram earning.
So you can request for haram earning. I mean, Allah can accept your
presence. Yes. Alhamdulillah, in Islam, alhamdulillah, the minute you have the intention to stop and to repent to Allah, Allah accepts all, you know, the acts of repentance, and inshallah, Allah forgives you. Also, okay, but the most important is your intention, and the most important is never to return to haram, illegal earning. Number three, regarding the harm of earning haram, is that charity is not accepted from haram earning. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessing be upon him, said, a slave of Allah who acquired haram wealth and gives charity from it, is not accepted from him. If he spends from it, he doesn't have any blessings in it. If he leaves it behind him, that is to say, he dies, it will be a means of taking him to the fire of the hell. Okay? Allah doesn't wipe out evil deed with evil deed. Instead, Allah wipes out evil deed with good deed. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that if I did a sin and I am giving charity, okay, to wipe the sin, okay, but my charity is haram. So haram cannot wipe haram, okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Evil deed, which is the haram earning, cannot wipe out a sin because both of them are evil. Okay, and Allah wipes out evil with good deed, with halal or legal earning. So this is a very important actually facts which we must know, because actually regarding the answering of the dua, which is a big problem for every one of us. I have, you know, some sisters whom they are calling on Allah now for 5 years, you know, for something to happen in their life. And actually they are praying and they are fasting and they are good mannered, okay, and everything is okay with them. So sometimes I question why their supplication is not answered. But actually after I knew about this, you know, the haram earning, actually they were working, one of them especially, she was working, but she always went to her job late. Okay, when she was working. And also she always finished her work quickly, out of the time. Okay, under the impression that the minute I finish my work, I can leave. Okay, but she never stayed in the work, the working hours. So maybe this was the reason, only Allah knows. So to be out of all this dilemma, okay, let us be strict, you know, very strict regarding the working hours. Let us be very strict regarding, you know, the belief that this is the money of Allah, and we must be very honest with Allah regarding this money. Now, inshallah, we will continue to learn two stories based on the fact that wealth belongs to Allah, and out of His wisdom, He is giving the people share of His wealth as a test. Okay, so you must be grateful to Allah for your wealth, not to obey the whispers of shaitan to become ungrateful to Allah regarding the wealth. Now we will learn two stories. The first one is from the hadith of Prophet Muhammad. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon him. What is the goal of this story? The goal of this story is to believe that if you are not grateful to Allah, Allah will destroy your wealth. How to be grateful to Allah? To believe that the wealth is from Allah. It is not out of your work or out of your effort. Because Allah is the one who made it easy for you to work, okay, and to do effort. Because there are a lot of people whom they are doing the same work and effort which you are doing in the United States, and they are earning 100th of what you are earning in the United States. For example, in Egypt, if you are a physician working from 8 to 4, you will earn what is equal to $200. Okay? In America, you will earn with what is equal to $2,000, $5,000. Okay? So who is the provider? Both of you do the same job, but Allah is providing the one in US with $5,000 and the one in Egypt with $200. Okay? So all the time, you must be grateful to Allah and not to believe, like most of the people, that it is my work, it is my effort, it is my intelligence which is behind my earning. This is actually the goal of this story. If you are grateful to Allah all the time, this means that you are not listening to the whispers of shaitan, because the shaitan is after every one of us not to be grateful to Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
It was narrated that Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I heard the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, saying, Allah the Almighty will to test three men who were a leper, a blind man, and a bald-headed man. So he sent them an angel who came to the leper and said, what thing do you like most? He replied, good color and good skin, for the people have a strong aversion to me. The angel touched him and his illness was cured. He was given a good color and beautiful skin. The angel asked him, "What kind of property do you like best?" He replied, "Camels." So he, the leper, was given a pregnant she-camel, and the angel said to him, "May Allah bless you in it." The angel then went to the bald-headed man and said, "What thing do you like most?" He said, "I like good hair and wish to be cured of this disease, for the people try to avoid me. The angel touched him, and his illness was cured, and he was given good hair." The angel asked him, "What kind of property do you like best?" He replied, "Cows." The angel gave him a pregnant cow and said, "May Allah bless you in it." Then the angel went to the blind man and asked, "What thing do you like best?" He said, "I like that Allah, the Almighty, may restore my eyesight to me so that I may see the people." The angel touched his eyes, and Allah, the Almighty, gave him back his eyesight. The angel asked him, "What kind of property do you like best?" He replied, "Sheep." The angel gave him a pregnant sheep. Afterwards, all the three pregnant animals gave birth to young ones and multiplied and brought forth so much that one of the three men had a herd of camels filling a valley, and one had a herd of cows filling a valley, and one had a flock of sheep filling a valley. Then the angel, disguised in the shape and appearance of a leper, went to the leper and said, "I'm a poor man who has lost all means of livelihood while on a journey. So none will satisfy my need except Allah, the Almighty, and then you. In the name of Him who has given you such nice color and beautiful skin and so much property, I ask you to give me a camel so that I may reach my destination." The man replied, "I have many obligations, so I cannot give you." The angel said, "I think I know you. Were you not a leper to whom the people had a strong aversion? Were not you a poor man, and then Allah the Almighty gave you all this property?" He replied, "This is all wrong. I got this property through inheritance from my forefathers." The angel said, "If you are telling a lie, then let Allah the Almighty make you as you were before." Then the angel, disguised in the shape and appearance of a bald man, went to the bald man and said to him the same as he told the first one. He too answered the same as the first one did. The angel said, "If you are telling a lie, then let Allah the Almighty make you as you were before." The angel, disguised in the shape of a blind man, went to the blind man and said, "I'm a poor man and a traveler whose means of livelihood have been exhausted while on a journey. I have nobody to help me except Allah the Almighty. And after him, you yourself, I ask you in the name of him who has given you back your eyesight to give me a sheep so that with its help I may complete my journey." The man said, "No doubt I was blind and Allah the Almighty gave me back my eyesight. I was poor and Allah the Almighty made me rich. So take anything you wish from my property. By Allah the Almighty, I will not stop you from taking anything you need of my property which you may take for Allah's sake." The angel replied, "Keep your property with you. You, i.e. the three men, have been tested, and Allah the Almighty is pleased with you and is angry with your two companions."
Thank you very much. So actually, sister, this is the story which every one of us actually must learn the lesson. The lesson is that if you are not grateful to Allah for your wealth, okay, Allah will destroy your wealth. Okay, now we will learn another example which is mentioned in the Holy Quran regarding the same fact, so that all the time you must be grateful to Allah. All the time you must say Alhamdulillah. All praise to Allah. Allah is the provider. Allah is the sustainer. Everything is from Allah. And if you believe in this, you will never eat haram food or illegal earning. Okay? Because you cannot eat illegal earning while you believe that Allah is the provider and Allah doesn't provide haram. You are the one who chooses the haram. Okay? So now we will recite from Surah number 28. We will learn about Qarun, okay, who is actually the richest man mentioned in the Holy Quran. Okay? We will learn about his story with the wealth and actually how Shaitan succeeds. succeeded, okay, to deviate him from the right path, and how he lost all his treasures out of his actually listening to the whispers of Shaitan. Surah number 28, we will recite from verse number 76 to 82. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 28, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah Al-Qasas. Verse, we will start actually Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim with verse number 76.
Inna Qarun kana min qawm Musa fabagha alayhim وآتيناه من الكنوز ما إن مفاتحه لتنوء بالعصبة أولي القوة إذ قال له قومه لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين.
Okay, now we will learn the whole story in English from verse number 76 to verse number 82.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Indeed, Quran was from the people of Moses, but he tyrannized them, and we gave him of treasures whose keys would burden a band of strong men. Thereupon his people said to him, "Do not exult. Indeed, Allah does not like the exalted. But seek through that which Allah has given you, the home of the hereafter, and yet do not forget your share of the world, and do good as Allah has done good to you, and desire not the corruption in the land. Indeed, Allah does not like corruptors." He said, "I was only given it because of the knowledge I have." Did he not know that Allah had destroyed before him generations those who were greater than him in power and greater in accumulation of wealth? But the criminals about their sins will not be asked. So he came out before his people in adornment. Those who desire the worldly life said, "Oh, would that we had like was given to Qarun. Indeed, he is one of the great fortune." But those who had been given knowledge said, "Woe to you! The reward of Allah is better for he who believes and does righteousness, and none are granted it except the patient. And we caused the earth to swallow him and his home, and there was for him no company to aid him other than Allah, nor was he of those who could defend themselves." And those who had wished for his position the previous day began to say, "Oh, how Allah extends provisions to whom he wills of his servants and restricts it. If not that Allah had conferred favor on us, he would have caused it to swallow us. Oh, how the disbelievers do not succeed."
Thank you very much.
So actually now we will learn the story step by step. Yes, you want to say something?
I visited Egypt, Al-Fayyum, and there was a lake, they call it Lake of Qarun, the story about this man. So from what the people said is that all his property and everything actually sunk, and the water comes. So the whole lake, you know, covers his all property and all his treasures.
So actually, sisters, if we try to analyze the story, Allah is mentioning in verse number 76 about Qarun. Qarun was a man whom Allah had given him abundant wealth, described as treasures. Indeed, the carrying of the keys of these treasures represented a heavy burden even for a band of strong men. So Allah is clarifying how great was the wealth. Okay, it is the keys of the treasures, not the treasures. The keys of the treasures were so heavy that they must be actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, a heavy burden for a band of strong men to carry the keys. Okay, so how many keys? How big was the keys? Okay, this is actually to give you the clear idea that his wealth was so great. He is actually the richest man mentioned in the Holy Quran. Okay, and actually because of his wealth, he was very arrogant. Accordingly, some of the people in his community, they tried to stop such injustice. Okay, so they gave him some advices. Number one, they told him not to be proud of his wealth, and because he must remember that Allah is the one who granted him that wealth. Number three, he must not neglect to give the due thanks to Allah. And number four, he must not treat his money as an object of extreme delight. Okay? Actually, Allah, then in verse number 77, okay, Allah gave him the rest of the lessons. Okay, you must live the worldly life and enjoy it, but at the same time, you must seek the reward of the hereafter by spending halal, earning halal, spending for the sake of Allah. And actually, this is the balance regarding the worldly life and the hereafter in Islam. Islam is not against enjoying the worldly life. Enjoy the worldly life according to the rules of Allah. Okay? As Allah said in the Holy Quran, eat from the good. Okay? Allah doesn't tell us in the Holy Quran, you are restricted regarding special types of food. No, Allah said, eat from the good. Okay? So, we can enjoy the worldly life according to the rules of Allah, but we must seek the reward, okay, of the hereafter also. So this is number one. This is the Islamic code of life. To make the wealthy look forward to the life to come, hoping to be among the winners on the day of judgment. Okay, without depriving any share of enjoyment in the present life. You can have good clothes, you can eat good food, you can live in a good house, okay? All of this through halal or lawful earning, but at the same time, I am looking for the reward from Allah the Almighty. The worldly life is not the end for me. The worldly life is part of my life, but the most important part for me is the hereafter. Okay? Again, the righteous people advised Qarun not to spread corruption on the earth because Allah doesn't love those who spread corruption. And if we try to think how the wealthy people spread corruption on the earth, they spread corruption on the earth in the form of injustice. Okay, doing what causes envy and hatred. Number one, wasting their money. Okay, buying too expensive houses, cars, jewelry. Okay, even spending the money in gambling. So this is a form of corruption. Okay, number two, blocking the money proper use, giving charity to the people, building masjids, building Islamic schools, whatever. Okay, so when the wealthy people, they follow the shaitan whispers regarding the too much spending of the money, okay, this means that they are spreading corruption and Allah is against spreading corruption on the earth. So this was the honest advice, okay, to Qarun. What was his reply? His reply was that, I have got this wealth through the knowledge I have, all by my own effort and knowledge. So why you are trying to tell me how to use my wealth? It is a private property. Okay, this is the cause, this is the reason why Allah will destroy him and his wealth totally. Because this is forbidden in the sight of Allah. And actually it is forbidden when you mention it with your tongue or when you have it clear in your spirit. Your wealth is not out of your effort and knowledge. Your wealth is from Allah the Almighty, and you must admit and believe in this fact. And accordingly, you must be grateful to Allah all the time regarding your wealth. Okay? Actually, because of his ungrateful attitude, Allah the Almighty caused the earth to swallow him and his dwelling place. And actually, try, sisters, to imagine it. Okay, it is not an easy fact to be imagined. A man who is the richest man ever created, okay, other than Prophet Sulaiman. Other than this is a prophet. Prophet Sulaiman is different case. But as a normal human being, he was the richest ever created, okay? And because he said few words, this wealth is out of my effort and knowledge. What Allah made for him. Allah didn't destroy his palace and, you know, his house, great houses or mansion. No. Allah made the earth to swallow. To swallow him and his treasures. Okay? As if they were not there at all. This is the power of Allah. This is the power of Allah, which the wealthy people must remember all the time. If you feel that you have power because you are rich or you are wealthy, remember and never to forget that Allah can destroy you and your wealth in a second. Okay, Allah is the most powerful. And when you believe that Allah is the most powerful, you will never be arrogant in life at all. Because the second I feel that I am arrogant, this means that I don't believe that Allah is the most powerful. Because if it is clear in my spirit that Allah is the most powerful, so I don't have power. So Allah can destroy me as He already destroyed Qarun. So I can't be arrogant at all. Because if my wealth is the source of my arrogance, Allah can destroy my wealth. If my health is the source of my arrogance, Allah can destroy my health. If my family, my husband, whatever is the source, Allah can destroy it for me. As it happened with the richest man ever created, Qarun. So the lesson from this story, sister, which actually is a very important lesson, always remember Allah, the Almighty. Never to forget Allah. If you remember Allah all the time, shaitan cannot touch you. Okay? If you want to get rid of the shaitan and all the harm of the shaitan, and actually in these classes, inshallah, over the coming months, you will learn a lot about how shaitan is harming you in your daily life. If you want to get rid of all this harm, remember Allah all the time. Because the minute you remember Allah, shaitan will escape. Okay? How can I remember Allah? I can remember Allah when I remember how weak I am. How I am in great need of Allah. How Allah is the most powerful. And I always remember the story of Qarun, the richest man whom Allah made the earth to swallow him and his treasures because of few words. So we must be all the time grateful to Allah the Almighty, the one who is providing us with all the wealth. And actually Prophet Muhammad, at the end we will remember what Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, he taught people to say, O Allah, bestow upon me enough of your grace to make me independent of all besides you. Okay, again, O Allah, bestow upon me enough of your grace to make me independent of all besides you. And inshallah, next week we will start to learn about the second way which shaitan is using to motivate man from the right path, which is the women. Okay, and let us make the dua. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.